Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And Franny Fry today, happy to be with you, and I look forward to spending the next couple of hours with you as well with our producer, Brad. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. And Ryan Wiggins will join us a little bit later in the show. Happy to be with you. And I got to say, I got the call this morning that said, hey, can you fill in for Annie? And I was snow blowing, which we got the storms sometimes go through St. Louis and they make their way up through Michigan. It's not quite uncommon, but man, this past 2 weeks have been terrible when it comes to weather in Michigan. So I'm happy to be in a warm studio here. And by the way, you put up a YouTube live chat poll. What's the poll for today?
The poll today is are you satisfied with President Trump's handling of the economy? And we got three options here for you. It's yes, no, but I'll give him more time, or just plain no, you're not satisfied. So you can vote on the poll today by jumping on Annie's YouTube page, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y, and leave a comment and vote, and we'll star those comments and might read some of them on the air as the show goes on.
Do you vote in these, or are you just watching?
I have to vote so that I can see the results.
Oh, so you do
so
vote. So you're vote number one, roughly.
No.
Not always.
I usually I don't want to sway anybody.
So what you don't want to do is someone goes on, they thought, okay, the first person already voted. Now I know how Brad voted. Like if you're the first one when the thing comes up, basically.
Right, but that's not accurate because I don't do that.
Got it. Of course. I look forward to seeing these results. It's an interesting mix of how is the economy. And what I find when discussing the economy, when you look at experts or when you look at certain people that may be analyzing it on some of the news networks, I don't know if they're giving the most honest account of the economy, because you have to take into consideration what's baked into the cake coming into this administration. And there's a lot baked into the cake. So what can you do to offset it? And you have someone like Donald Trump who makes a lot of promises that things are going to turn around immediately and things are going to be better. And it just doesn't work that way. But when you do see improvements, they don't give him credit for the improvements that he gets. So. Yeah. It's such a good poll question. I'm looking forward to seeing the results on that one.
You have a bunch
have
of...
Have you been...
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I have a bunch of thoughts on the economy and stuff like that, too, because, like, the thing that people forget is it was so bad under Biden. I just saw a repost talking about some of the... From 2022, talking about some of the price increases, and you're talking about double digits in price increases on groceries and stuff like that. That is not a quick fix. And so some of these things that Trump has put in place are actually having an effect, but it was so bad that if you're looking for the pre-Biden Trump economy, well, that's going to take a while to get back.
Baked in the cake. Yeah, the Biden mistakes, they're blaming on Trump's tariffs. That's how it normally works with the experts. And you can't buy that. And I remember when Donald Trump was just a nominee in his first term. And I wasn't on board with Donald Trump. I thought, no, this is just not going to work. This is not a good look. This is going to turn out bad. He becomes president. And I find this is the best analogy, or at least the best example of how I fit today. I think you can look at Donald Trump and say he'll take three steps forward and one step back. And the mainstream media will focus on the one step back. And I'm looking at the three steps forward saying, this guy did some really good stuff. I'm not focusing on the one back because the overall net benefit of the things he's doing offset the steps back. And it may not be the perfect person or the perfect world you want to live in where you have you're batting 1,000 and everything's going great. It doesn't work like that in the real world. I will note that when it comes to the economy, he's taken steps forward, but the focus is on the steps back, some of which are being forced on him through what happened during the Biden administration. So I know we'll talk more about that over the course of the show. What do you think about in Australia? Did you see how in Australia, if you're a teen or younger, under the age of, I believe, 16, you're no longer allowed on social media? Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen that. And
that's a big one.
I think this is the right, I think they're trying the right thing. I really do.
Yeah.
I have questions on how you can enforce it, but I definitely think that you can't do anything. Like, you just can't sit there and say, well, there's nothing we can do because we don't know how we can enforce it. But I think that this ban for children on social media is amazing because you need
their children.
Yes. And you need to give these kids a chance to develop their brains and understand criticism and realistic expectations and all of that other stuff before they get into that like bare knuckle brawl that is social media.
Bare knuckle brawl is the way you categorize social media. When you're 16 and even at that age and younger, the benefit of social media does not outweigh the things that'll work against you in the future. One, I think some of the obvious things, you're going to be posting things you're going to regret 100% later. It's one of the reasons why we don't let, I don't know, 12-year-olds get tattoos, because that stupid bluey tattoo you'd have picked up, you're going to regret when you're older. That's number one. But number two, they're not fully understanding of the dangers and the predators that are there to do them harm and take advantage of them. There's a lot of predatory activities, and it's not just sexual. It could be them financially or ruining perhaps their parents because they're using the credentials that the parents let them on. There's a lot of things that kids just don't pick up on because of their immaturity. And there's, to be honest, even above the age of 16 up to 21, 22, they do stupid, stupid things without thinking about the consequences. But nonetheless, this is something that is a positive. And I think most parents implement these type of suggestions without the government stepping in. I know a lot of parents that don't let their kids on social media, rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, there are parents that I work with on a daily basis that don't allow their kids to have social media, don't allow their kids to have devices until it's absolutely necessary. And I would also say, if you're a parent out there and you're like, my kid needs to have a phone and I don't want them to have social media, your kid doesn't have to have a smartphone. If they need a phone for you to contact them for practices or whatever, look into seeing if you can get a, I don't want to call it a dumb phone, but a dumb phone, a phone that is just a phone that maybe can send texts in the old way where you have to click three times to get the correct letter. That sort of thing. You know, keep
flip phones.
Yeah.
My jitterbug's acting up. So did you know that they make military iPhones without cameras on them? Did you know that?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Because the secrets and things that you may be tempted to take a picture of or accidentally have in the background, why not give one of those to a kid? You're not allowed to take your pictures. At least that's half the battle of, you know, the threat of them sending something they shouldn't to someone else.
Well, but the thing about the phone, the internet and stuff like that, it's a doorway. And what it, was it, the Avengers, where they say that's the thing about doors, they go both ways. you can send things out, but stuff can still get in. You're opening up a doorway to your home for the world.
Right.
And so even if it doesn't have a camera, they get the apps, they scroll through there, they can see the stuff that's on the apps, even if they're not sending it. And that can be just as harmful.
The things that are looking up. So the big story, and I don't know if I explained this well at the start, Australian teenagers are no longer allowed on social media. The new law of the land is that if you're under 16, you're not allowed on these things. Major platforms like TikTok, YouTube, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. If they catch someone under the age of 16, there's major fines for those platforms. So the platforms themselves said, we're getting you off. And part of the ban that you find happening last night, because, you know, teens are about to lose their account. It was like a cry fest. They were crying with their friends on social media. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. And part of it, too, is the content creators that depend on those children who are on their devices all the time. They're not going to be able to consume the same content. So that will have a hit as well, at least for them.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college, it was right at the beginning of social media starting to take off, and we actually had debates in our philosophy class. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? And one of the things that the students argued, and I was older. I was just older than everybody because I started college a little bit later. One of the things that all the younger kids in my classes would argue is like, well, how would you be sociable without social media? And that's kind of why those kids are crying, because they feel like they're not going to be able to connect to their friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you could do it the way I did it, which is... you know, give them a call and go hang out with them. Spend time together.
There's no landline to call them. I mean, email them.
Yeah, but I mean, the social media ban doesn't ban you from making a phone call on your cell phone. Just give
That's
them a
true.
Call. Go hang out.
If you
do
have
it in
a
person.
Cell phone at that age.
That's, I mean, like my argument was always that, like, what you're experiencing online through social media isn't real. Like, you will feel like you have a closer connection to somebody that you don't actually have that real connection with. The real connections, real relationships are formed in person. And so hopefully what we can do with this, or what they'll do with this, is you'll find that the kids will start making good connections, real connections with one another in person.
You know, do you miss the days when someone in your family would yell from another room, Brad, pick up the phone. It's for you. Brad, where? Pick up the phone. What? And they're yelling from another room.
I was usually the one yelling.
And you hear the, all right, I'm on. Hang up. Hang up. Did you hang up? Hold on. It didn't sound like you... Get off the phone. I'm trying to talk to my friend. Stop listening to my conversation.
This is amazing.
They don't understand that.
No, it's a thing they'll never get. Or picking up the phone with the dial-up sound being on there.
Or, yeah. Or you're on a call and you hear the click. Hey, get off the phone. I got to call someone. Get off the line. And someone's yelling at you because you're on there for too long. I remember what a big deal that was when you could be on the internet and still use your phone line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a big deal that was.
Huge.
You mean I don't have to get kicked off? Whew. That was something. The kids, man, they don't understand the way it used to be, but maybe they will with more of these laws. I don't think this will ever be implemented in the United States, but I would be in support of it if someone were to bring it up. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know what? It's the same type of protections we're going to put in for our kids, so I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good, too. But make it easier for parents to say no, because I know one of the things that Annie had talked about, like, whenever you tell your kids no, you can't have social media, but all of their friends do, that's a really hard no to say. But whenever the government comes in and is like, hey, you got to be over a certain age to do it, that makes it way more, like, the parents are like, what do you want me to do, break the law? Well, Johnny's mom lied for me. No, don't. No.
Oh, man. There's all kinds of different codes. If you ring once and hang up, that meant something. Like, oh, boy, there's certain codes that came in. Or, instead of text messages that you got home safe, you can call and hang up once. Oh, that means they got home safe. It could be, nothing bad always. By the way, we're talking the economy a little bit earlier, and the YouTube live chat poll is up. Brad, what is it again?
The poll is, are you satisfied with President Trump's handling of the economy? And you can say vote yes, you can vote no, but I'll give him more time, or you can just vote no. I'm not satisfied with it, and he's not doing enough.
You know, what we need, the way these technologies work in, the digital technology I use to dial into the radio station, if someone else were to open this up and dial in too, I think you'd be able to hear both of us on the air at the same time. That's kind of what it's like in the old day with the phone. Maybe that would be more entertaining if we just had randomly people that could bump onto the radio station and then take over the microphone and we yell at them like we did back in the day to get off the line. And then we can relive what it's like to be in the 90s.
Hang up!
Hang up the phone! We're doing an interview! You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling for Annie Fry at Ryan Recker. If you want to reach me on social media, only if you're an adult. If you're a child in Australia, you can't do it. Na-na-na-na-na-na. let's taunt the children. Okay, I'm going to read you a headline, and I want you to tell me if you think life is better with news stories like this or life is worse with news stories like this. Here's the headline from the New York Post. Marco Rubio instructs diplomats to use Times New Roman font, eliminating Biden-era DEI initiative.
Wait. I was like, ooh, Times New Roman. Let's get some standard up in here. That scratches an itch in me. I don't know that that needs, you know, I don't know that that's a headline. But then you say to counter a Biden, what was the last part? A Biden
initiative, right. So apparently Anthony Blinken during the Biden administration implemented the Calibri font. Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah.
Calibri. It's Calibri, a softer, simpler shaped, wider font. And they said it was used to assist certain people with disabilities and low vision and dyslexia. So the Biden administration said, hey, diplomats and those, if you're going to be using anything through the State Department, we want you to use this softer font. Marco Rubio said, we're coming back to Times New Roman. We're done with this softer stuff.
That's, you know, Like,
I love
here's,
it though.
Here's I have a question for you, and like, I like Rubio, and I'm like, no, let's go back to the Times New Roman, because that's what I had to do school into. Times New Roman, 12-point font. That's it. You know, you can do double spaced, and then your 12-page papers better be 12 pages in that. And that's right. You know, the Calibri or whatever, bigger font too. My question to this is, like, I understand that the Biden administration was trying to be sensitive to people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's like an ADA act that means that buildings have to be wheelchair accessible and all that other stuff. And I think that's good. But to what extent is it incumbent upon the person with the disability to make accommodations for their own disability and stop expecting everybody else to, you know, change their life because of that person's disability? And I'll give you this example. I'm sure you and I have talked about this before, but I've had 3 heart attacks in my life. Which means that I need to watch what I eat. So whenever I go to a restaurant or something like that, when I make my selections with that in mind. What I feel like happens sometimes is it would be like me going to the restaurants and telling the restaurants they couldn't serve all that deep fried fatty food that everybody else likes and can have because I have a problem. But my problem is my problem, and it's mine to deal with. And so I get the Caesar salad whenever you get the steak or what, or the deep fried Twinkies or whatever it is. Like,
you know how I eat.
Am I right?
Yeah.
But my thing is like, where is that line? When do we start drawing that line between, you know, I have to accommodate you? Like, a building putting a ramp in isn't a major accommodation, but where is that line? Like, okay, now everybody has to use this font because this one person in this one department way far away in Utah needs it so they can see. Don't they have stuff for those people already?
I think that, one, I really don't know how this makes life easier with a disability, saying that you have to use a certain font. And I can almost guarantee, and without knowing the backstory about why that change was made, I can say with a 95% certainty there was some blue-haired person somewhere that asserted that this is a fact. And if you don't do it, you're anti-disability. So you have to do it. And there was some woke person somewhere that made this recommendation under the threat that you have to be progressive enough to accept changes like this. So they went along with it. Marco Rubio said they want to restore professionalism to the department's written works products and abolish another wasteful DEIA. I didn't know there's one where there's an A after it. It's Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Program. The department is returning to Times New Roman as the standard typeface. That is the classic font.
But it makes sense to me. I if you look at two documents, one that has, I think that Calibri is the default font for Apple devices. So if you open up,
oh, really?
Yeah, if you open up Pages or whatever their word processing app is, I think that's the default font. Mm-hmm. And you compare that to Times New Roman. Times New Roman to me looks a lot more professional.
It is professional. It is. That's, I think, the standard when it comes to professional. Okay, so going back to my original question, do you like that's a news story, or do you hate that we cover this as news now?
I hate that we have to cover that.
You do?
Yes.
I kind of like it.
I think the story's fun. I think there's great conversation there, but why was this even having to be a headline? I understand why it is a headline, but why did it have to be a headline?
Yeah, I get it. Why does it have to be? In any other time, it wouldn't be. But man, do I enjoy stories like this. I think this is great. Is the important? Is it enough where of all the other things that are going on in the world that this needs to be up at the start of the show? No. Is it interesting? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that across the board, the initiative is get rid of some of this junk, this leftover stuff that makes no sense, that makes us look soft for no reason whatsoever.
Right. And we had, like, until you read that headline, I didn't even know that the Biden administration had put in a font change rule for DEIA. So, like, the other thing this does is it exposes me to the extent at what, like, the proliferation of this in the Biden administration. It was like that was what was important, and then everything else was secondary to it.
I think, too, maybe it's important to point out, and I don't know if this is a stupid point, but the way things were reported during the Biden administration versus the way things were reported during the Trump administration, if it was changed away from Times New Roman and the Biden administration put it in, no one knew about it. Now it's a change back and it's causing people to get upset about Trump. So I find a lot of the media in the way that articles are written, it's the default of, is this going to make Trump look bad? Then you know what? That's going to get us some clicks. So let's go with it. When they didn't care less about it during the Biden administration doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or it was part celebrated.
Or it was celebrated. You're right. Isn't that great? Just so you know, unofficial documents. What other fonts could we use? Arial or Wingding? What's the official font of the Annie Fry show? Is there one?
I think each individual has their own font. I don't think there's an official Annie Fry show font.
I think there needs to be one.
Libby
Maybe
in our chat said
one.
Comic Sans is a lot more fun.
Comic Sans, please. Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, what's the one that looks old? Papyrus or whatever?
Yes. Why can't we do all of these? Do we have to pick just one? Can they pick from a few? And then what's the discipline if you're caught at the State Department using something other than Times New Roman?
You have to handwrite your documents, and it has to look like the Constitution handwriting, not not whatever chicken scratch
like
I put out.
The Did you even write this with a feather? I mean, come on. Well, not that they were using a feather for that. But let's say you go into a job and you hand over your resume and it's Times New Roman and the next person hands it in and it's Comic Sans. Who are you picking for the job by default?
Oh, Times New Roman,
right?
Yeah.
100%.
Every day.
I think that kind of proves the point when you're talking about official documents. That's what you need to do. Something else that's going on. I do want to talk more about the economy, and President Trump was in Pennsylvania. That was a big thing from yesterday. You know, one other thing I want to bring up is something that a coworker mentioned about her neighbor. And I wanted to get your take on this because it sounds a little controversial about her neighbor. So how often do you look across the fence and criticize your neighbor? And what kind of things can your neighbor be doing that would get you all up in arms to complain about it with your coworkers? Maybe we will talk about that coming up on the show as well. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. I think this is our break time. And Brad, I'm really curious on what you're going to say next on 97.1 FM Talk. We're going to lay around the shanty
mama. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Danny Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. How's the YouTube poll shaping up? Are we getting people voting? I hope we are.
We are indeed getting votes in on the poll.
Awesome.
We're almost to 100 votes already, which is really good.
Fantastic. All right. How is Donald Trump handling the economy? Let's bring up a scenario of someone I work with. And yes, President Trump was in Pennsylvania yesterday. I want to talk about affordability and some of the things he brought up, too. I heard this story from my coworker, and she was talking about her neighbor. To give you a little bit of context, she's an animal lover and advocate. So, you know, when we do stories about hunting, she's not a big fan of it. We'll say that type of, you know, it's more than just enjoying the presence of cats and dogs. So she was in her backyard and she looks over and she notices a pet cemetery next door. And she says her neighbor will bury their house pets in the backyard with the intention of using it for compost. And she said, that makes me feel really weird that the neighbor is burying house pets and composting them. And she said, it makes me feel creepy. I don't like that this is going on next door. It's strange. It's weird. So, Brad, are you someone that feels okay with burying pets in the backyard? Let's kind of go to that step first.
That I feel okay with. You know, I grew up in the country, so that's what we did with our pets.
What you did?
Yeah, you just...
What about in the city, though? Like, let's say you're living in the city of St. Louis. You have a small plot of land. Your neighbors are really close to you. You see everything that goes on over the fence. Does that change anything?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, you know, would I bury my pet in my backyard at my current house? Because I do live in the suburbs. And I don't think that I would. And the reason I don't think that I would is because my parents still have their farm. And I think that taking my dog out there and burying him there would be better. I don't know. Better, more peaceful, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't, I guess I would be okay with it. You know, you have a little memorial garden or whatever if you want to do that and put a little memorial stone out there. That, I don't know, that, you know, for some people, pets are pretty much part of their family, and I'm cool with that. If they want to do that and they want to bury their pet in their backyard, go for it.
You know, putting an animal down, a pet, that's one of the hardest things you can do as an adult. That is tough, very emotional, very difficult to do. You know, when you lead a family and you're the dad and, you know, that's part of one of your duties, that's a tough thing to do, you know, and take it and still be strong after all that. We have a family friend where that's a plot of land and they've lived in the country forever and they have a little pet cemetery where we've always taken our family pets. So, you know, I know exactly what you mean. When you live out in the country, it's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. What about neighbors that say compost that animal? Because then you can get some, it's like a way to a tribute to the animal, meaning something's going to grow from that, something beautiful, and it's almost like a loving thing to do.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I don't know if you've seen those things. I think they're called like burial pods. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Where the person's buried with some seeds or a tree or something like that, and then their body's supposed to feed the tree as it decomposes and the tree grows out of it. I find that weird. I look at, if you're composting your pets, I think that that's weird too. I mean, I understand why people do it. I'm not going to say you can't do that because the libertarian streak in me is like, but it's your house, it's your pet, it's your property, you do your thing. I'm not going to intervene, but I am going to look at you and judge you harshly.
Right.
I may do it silently, but it'll be a harsh judgment.
Okay, how about the front yard? Instead of the back, you put it in the front yard.
Same thing. Like this, what? Like you're tapping into something with me. Because I always said if my neighborhood tried to have a HOA, I would stage a coup, a hostile yes. takeover. I hate yes. HOAs. Like on principle, there are very few things in this country that you own, and your property, your house, your home is one of them. And nobody has the right to come in there and tell you you can't have that washing machine in your front yard. But also, I'm the person that's like, you should just be a decent enough human being not to put a washing machine in your front yard. Just be a
more
decent
baby
human being,
pools.
You know? But I'm not going to tell you can't do it. That's your right. That's your property.
You would go full-blown Braveheart on your neighbors if they said an HOA was coming.
Yes. Yeah. You could take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. And I'd be out there with the blue face paint on and my gigantic Scottish claymore saying, I dare you.
Claymore, and there's a lot of other neighbors.
That Gadsden flag would go up so quick.
They would join your militia.
Come, don't tread on me. Come and take it.
If I want to bury my dog in the front yard and put a little cross, I'm doing it. I don't care what anyone tells me.
And not only that, I will judge you harshly for doing that. But if somebody comes to your house and tells you you're not allowed to do that at your house, I'll be the first person in front of you defending you. I'm like, this person's nuts for doing it, but it's their house, and you don't have a right to tell them anything.
Mommy, why are there so many crosses in the front yard? It's not Halloween, is it?
It is
nope,
now.
Nope, it's a pet cemetery, yeah. It is now. So President Trump was in Pennsylvania yesterday talking about affordability. That was a big part of it, and trying to make that point. And that's one of the big reasons why we have the poll question that's up on YouTube right now when it comes to the handling of the economy. Let's hear a couple of clips from that. How about we go to clip number two, if we have that one. This is Trump from yesterday.
Let me pop this up here real quick.
Pennsylvania.
Another key part of our tax cuts is known as Trump accounts. Under this new program, the federal government will be creating an investment savings account for every single newborn American child, with $1,000 to be invested and grow over the course of their life, right at the beginning of birth. Friends, family, employers, and loved ones will be able to add thousands of dollars a year, and it's like a trust fund for every American child.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. It really is. That $1,000, by the way, was it privately donated? That's a big part of it, too.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know if all of it is privately donated. I know that there is a lot of private donations going into that, and it could actually expand.
Right. And expanding meaning maybe not just to newborns. There was other age brackets. They were talking about lesser values, right?
Yes. So kids who were born prior to 2025.
I look at that and think there's states that do that individually. There's states that automatically create an account, and they'll put something like $100 in it. And to do this on a federal level, one, there's a few things you're addressing. Now, you have low birth rates, so this might be another incentive. So meaning that not that many people would, let's say, make a decision on bringing children into this world based on that solely. But if when you hear something like that, you're like, I guess it's not all that bad, right? At least there's something. So maybe some people would look at that and say that could help with the birth rates declining. The other side of it is when you start saving young, what I find with these like 529 plans, this is huge. I don't know if Michigan is the only state to do this. I know there's probably some other states that do it too. But what I find is that, let's say you start a 529 plan, you invest in a kid, and you start putting this in for their education. And by the time they turn 18, the idea is they use this for college. So credit hours, housing, things like that. Let's say you get a scholarship, or let's say something else changes where the, you know, they go to community college, or they decide not to go to college at all, whatever it may be, or college is free. Who knows what kind of Bernie Sanders style people can get in between now and, you know, 18 years from now. So what they decided to do was, okay, if you're not going to use it for school, what you could do for it is roll it over, and that starts your retirement fund, like a 401k. That's awesome. That's exactly what we need. Let me just say this. if the government and the Trump administration can understand how to fiscally be responsible when it comes to saving for the future, why can't they do that for our budget? Our government budget. Why can't they do that?
They can, Ryan. They can.
Just, they don't want to.
But there's no... What's the political advantage in doing that? You know, like, people are like, why is everything... Why do they spend money so much? Because the way deals get made in Congress is you say, I want this project done for my district, and it's going to cost this much money. And that person over there has got another project that they want done for their district, and you both want this defense bill spending bill passed. So you say, I will put money in it for your project, you put money in it for my project, and then we both vote yes on this to get this bill passed. And then it just drives the cost up. The only way you can do these compromises that they're talking about is by giving money to the other party.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things that may not be a top priority, if you're trying to prioritize where our money goes, there is no priority. You're right. It's more or less promises to get the thing that you really want. If you can't make a lot of times these politicians, they can make a pretty good case about this, meaning, okay, this is important because it supports 1,000 jobs in my district, and we don't want to jeopardize those jobs. That's why we need this contract. Things like that, you could appeal and say, under the merit of it, you should be voting for something like this. But when you have overspending over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, when what you are proposing of merit will take away from something that doesn't have merit, then they're like, oh, now we're going to play a game with it because I don't want to lose the thing that doesn't have merit.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of some good examples of that. But like, let's say, you know, like in Minnesota, oh, we're spending all this extra money on people that weren't qualified for it to begin with. Or, you know, that's really the big Democratic ploy right now. You're going to take health care away from all these illegal aliens? Are you serious? And you're like, okay, they weren't eligible to begin with. So why were they even getting the money? You're taking away from someone where there is a project of merit that could be going to benefit the people in that community. So now we're trying to rearrange things. None of it's working. And we're overspending. I wish we can look at, like, the Trump accounts here with our own budget for the government and realize that, okay, doesn't it feel good to be responsible? Can you just try that for a little bit? It feels good.
Well, man, it feels good to be responsible. And then if you have success in doing it, there is nothing, nothing that feels as good as, like, setting out for a goal, putting forth a plan, executing that plan, and then accomplishing that goal. When you accomplish that goal and you look back, and the longer it takes you and the bigger the goal is and the bigger the prize is at the end, the better it feels. Oh, man. I you talk about saving. I think back to saving for a car. My parents gave me a car when I turned 16. It wasn't really my car. I loved that car. It was a cool car. It was an old 79 Thunderbird. Super cool. It was my uncle's. They got a really good deal on it, and my uncle took absolute care of that car. But the first car that I bought was because I worked really hard and I saved money and was able to purchase that car. And I took way better care of that car than I did the first car. And that was my pride and joy. And like, when people would mock me for my car, I'd be like, but that's my car and I bought it.
I'm looking at a picture of the 79 Ford Thunderbird. Were you a pimp?
No. I'll tell you what, though, you could land an airplane on the hood of it.
That hood is huge. There's no way the engine took up that whole compartment.
Oh, no. Yeah, you pop the hood and you can look straight down and see the ground.
Yeah, you can probably stand in it while you're working on that
for
engine.
For sure.
You
and
really
I did.
I wanted to.
If I could find another one, I'd buy one, but yeah.
That's what they call a bunker buster. You can take that anywhere and you like break the four layers of brick walls before the thing crumpled.
I had a student teacher when I was in high school walked in because he was my first hour teacher. Walked in and was just cracking up because he saw me getting out of my car. And I was like, what are you laughing at? And he's like, that car. And he's like, it's huge. It's a boat. So the next day, whenever I drove into school, I made sure I arrived around the same time that he did. And I had brought a boat anchor from home. And I rolled my window down and tossed a boat anchor out and then got out. And he about fell out of his truck.
So when did you get your driver's license? What year? Like, how old was this car by the time you started driving?
Oh, see, it would have been 97, I want to say.
It's an old boy.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I was similar. We're about the same age, roughly. I had an 83 Chevy Caprice, another nice. Big boy car. Like nice. This was a big one. And I was just talking about it the other day because I remember, you know, you do your driving lessons and I took my driver's lessons in a Ford Aerostar minivan. So completely different type of vehicle.
Windstar.
Oh, Windstar.
I took mine in a Windstar.
The steering wheel, I could still feel it in my hands, the way that steering wheel was so thin and it was like that weird grip that got all the dirt and grime in it.
Yeah.
So I took it, and the car that my parents got for me, we bought this from my old grade school principal, was the 83 Chevy Caprice. It had a Mickey Mouse sticker in the back window we had to scrape off, and it was sunburnt into the glass. So the outline of Mickey Mouse was always in the back, but you couldn't care because, you know, you got your own car. And I remember taking that to the gas station for the first time and getting out, and I thought, okay, I got to, you know, be responsible, buy gas now with my own money. And I couldn't find the stupid gas tank on it.
No.
Do you remember those old cars? You had to flip the license plate down. Yes. I didn't know that. I'm a moron because this thing is like older, well, same age as me. I mean, basically, no way I was around when this car was new. And you flip the license plate down to get to where the gas is. And I had to ask someone. I couldn't figure it out. So I also noticed, too, you notice that like in the 90s, these 79, 80, 83, 85, whatever, these vehicles look so much different than the vehicles that were coming out in the 1990s. And if you were to go back and say, okay, so even if it was 15 years in the past, if you go back 15 years from today, the cars look almost identical, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't look any different. In the 90s and 2000s, if you went back 15, 20 years, it was a completely different vehicle.
Yeah, it's the emission standards. A lot of the cars now, modern cars, are designed in a wind tunnel. They've got to cut through the air so they can meet the emission standards. If you look at cars now, like the big difference between now and cars in the 90s, mm-hmm. the trucks and stuff are a lot bigger. Like a Ford Ranger now is the size of an F-150.
Back then.
and that's because it's a loophole around, was it the CAFE standards? It's what Trump just got rid of. The CAFE standards, it was cheaper for the manufacturers to make the vehicles bigger than to try to meet the emission standards and efficiency standards to keep the trucks the same size.
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, that is typical government stuff right there. We're going to take a break. I want to play some more clips from President Trump in Pennsylvania yesterday when it comes to affordability and some of the pitches he's making at this point. That's the poll question right now. If you hop over to the Annie Fry YouTube page and go vote, get in there now. There's a lot of people voting. We want to hear from you, too, and we'll get the results at the end of the show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry, 97.1 FM Talk. Oh, last time you gave me a theme. Is there a theme to the music going on here, Brad?
Missing? Ethan's here today, so Ethan put in the music. So if he did a theme, I don't know what it is.
It's whatever Ethan wants to play is the theme. So yesterday, Donald Trump was in Pennsylvania and he was talking about some of the improvements to the economy. And that's our poll question right now. If you were to go to the YouTube live chat poll, are you satisfied with President Trump's handling of the economy? Can we play clip number one? This is him discussing a few other things there.
But under Biden, real wages plummeted by $3,000 a year. Under Trump, the typical factory worker has already seen their wages increase by more than $1,300, and that's in just a few months. And for construction workers, it's $1,800 up versus $3,500 down, and I think their number is wrong. It's much lower than that. For miners, do we love miners? I love miners. I don't know how they do it, going 10,000 feet under the ground, and they wouldn't trade jobs with me. If I gave them a beautiful, magnificent penthouse in the middle of Manhattan, where I used to live, if I gave them the most beautiful penthouse, they wouldn't take it. They'd rather go 10,000 feet underground and dig. That's what they want. For miners, their wages went up $3,300.
Is that true? If you're underground, you would prefer living and working there than downtown Manhattan? Maybe, but...
I mean, some of those guys...
I hate Manhattan, though. I don't know if I would want to live there. I definitely don't want to live in a city like that.
Man, I am...
Torture.
I'm afraid of heights, but I'm also claustrophobic, and so being underground and working underground, no thank you. I'd rather work downtown Manhattan.
Both don't sound great. options at all. So the question is, how many rats do you want to see? There's probably more in New York than underground at that point, isn't there? Does the cave have more rats than New York? That's a good question.
No, the answer is no. New York has more rats. No,
the rat underground is dead. The rat in New York is thriving off of pizza and trash that's not collected.
Ride
on
them
the
to
street.
Work.
Yeah. John Kennedy also talked about affordability, Senator Kennedy there. This is clip number 3. Can we play that?
And what I'm telling you is there are things we can do that the president can't do. But in order to do it, the United States Senate has to get up off its ice cold, lazy butt. And you can't use the excuse, well, the Democrats won't go along with it. Of course they won't. But we don't need their votes. We can do it through reconciliation with a simple Republican majority.
Okay. So he's discussing some of the things that I think a lot of people would be in favor of, American people, when it comes to affordability changes, Democrats holding it up like they did this last budget. So I like Senator Kennedy a lot. Mm-hmm. He uses what terms like ice cold butt or something. Yeah. What does he say? Icy cold butt.
That man. he is one of my dream gets for a guest on this show. I keep working and trying to get him on here.
Oh, why won't he come on? He definitely should try. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty good. What was the clip that went viral? And I saw a bunch of people using it in Facebook reels and things. It was like, I pray to God for...
Oh, yeah.
It was something like that.
I ask God for patience, because if I ask him for strength, I'm going to need bail money.
Yes, exactly. That was Senator Kennedy. That's pretty good. All right. The affordability issue, that's a big part of, I'm guessing, the comments that are coming in, too, on the YouTube live chat poll. So we'll get to some of those later in the show. Yeah, I saw this other story. You're familiar with the comedian Andy Dick? Do you know him?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Not a fan of him. He's got a big resume. Mm. And apparently he suffered an overdose in Hollywood. You know, he's kind of like this, let's go get wasted on the street type of guy. And you'll find him out there. And he was caught on video, apparently Tuesday. Some photos came out, TMZ reporting it, obtaining some of the photos. He's 59 years old, slouched over these stairs of a building, his eyes closed, wearing his pajama pants. Unidentified man on his knees trying to hold him up and trying to help Andy Dick as everything's pretty much falling over. He's unresponsive. TMZ reported that a bystander shouted for someone nearby to get Narcan, a life-saving medication that quickly reverses opioid overdoses. Can I say this? And this is going to sound really terrible. I don't even feel bad. Because one, Andy Dick is pretty much responsible for Phil Hartman's death. You know the story in the 90s?
I didn't
just absolute.
I know that Phil Hartman, I know about Phil Hartman, but I didn't know this link.
Absolutely terrible. And so back when the two of them were on news radio, we're on news radio, but when they were on the television show News Radio, Phil Hartman and Andy Dick were on that show together. And the story goes, and this is something that John Lovitz, by the way, hates Andy Dick for. The story goes that Andy Dick introduced drugs to Phil Hartman's wife kept pumping this addiction into her, to the point where she ended up killing Phil and then killing herself. And Andy Dick is the one that really got her onto these drugs, much like we're seeing him slouched over and overdosing. But allegedly, it is at least what TMZ is reporting. The pictures are of what it looks like is happening. But that's like John Lovitz came in and said, we have lost an absolute legend because of Andy Dick. And he held it personal and just would not forgive him for what he did. So when I see something like this, I think about that and I think, I don't even feel bad. I mean, this is like years coming to him, unfortunately. That's probably the wrong way to look at this.
Yeah. But man.
It's sad all the way around, isn't it?
Breaks my heart.
You see people in Tokyo and Japan doing the slouching over trend where they're pretending to be Americans acting like this. It's pretty sad. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Happy to be with you on this Wednesday. And you heard the big breaking news there. It looks like the Fed will be doing a quarter point cut. And it sounds like President Trump is set to address that at the White House. It says the Fed predicts one rate cut for 2026 and 2027. That's interesting. So we'll see how that goes, because we're going to have a new Fed chair next year. And how is that going to play into the predictions? So we'll keep an eye out. We'll see what President Trump says from the White House, and we'll bring it to you if we see any big breaking news happening here. But as you heard, it was basically what Wall Street was expecting, a quarter point cuts. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Are you satisfied with President Trump's handling of the economy? Lots of votes coming in so far in that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.